How many of you have ever planted a fruit tree in your yard? Anybody? Right. So if you start with a young, just a twig, or if you try to grow it from your own fruit, you might be disappointed in how long it takes before the tree gives you fruit. I gave this a sermon, not this particular sermon, but I talked about this particular text one time before, and I had someone in my congregation who grew fruit trees come up and sort of tell me how I got it all wrong. But getting a tree to bear fruit takes some effort, both on the tree's part, but it also takes a great deal of time, sometimes 7 to 10 years, and the tree may only bear fruit for a certain number of seasons before the tree gets too old to do that. You also have to have other trees of that kind close by so that it can be pollinated and all kinds of other things. And the soil often has to be just right. So what is Jesus getting at in this message? What is this about this fig tree? It's not the only time the fig tree comes up and Jesus sort of uses figs as an example, but what is it about this particular moment that we're wanting to hear, or God is wanting us to hear? I think there's a message, a subtle one, about how God doesn't really ever give up on us. No matter how compacted our life is, no matter how dry the soil is, no matter how limited we are, God is not willing to give up on us. And I think that's part of the central part of the message, and we'll hear that for the next few weeks as well. Moses is there, and God comes and says, you're the one that's going to lead your people out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. You're the one. No, I'm not. You're the one. It can't be me. You're the one. I am. So listen. I am your God. I am the God that was here before, and I will continue to be your God, and you know my name. I am, and I will lead you. Moses has a hard time accepting and says, I was just a farmer. I'm just a sheep herder. I'm just someone living in the desert. How can it be me? And God says, I can do with you infinitely more than you could ever imagine. There's another piece of these scriptures in which we hear both in Paul's letter in the beginning of the gospel today about how sin is a piece of this. Is who sins more? Who's punished more? And that was a way of thinking in Jesus' time. It's a way he's saying that's not really the point. God can still do something with you. How many of you have ever been in silence? True silence. The kind of silence where we can really listen or really hear. There were a group of people called the Desert Fathers that were ascetics, so think sort of hippies. They were people who decided that the only way to get to God was to leave, in particular Alexandria in Egypt, to leave the center points of society and to get out into the desert and to give up everything, to give up all their material goods, to give up their connections, their families, all the things they did. They go out and live in the desert and hope that people will give them food or they'll find what they need. And they sort of did strange things. They build little tents and they live in the tent and they never leave it, or they'd sit on a post or they'd do something else. And they were doing this because they thought the only way to get to God is to shut out all the world that's around me. And guess what they found out? They got out there, got away from everything, and they discovered what leads them further away from God, but what was in here and what was in here. They were devoid of all the noise, of all the busyness, of all the compactedness of life, and they were there, and they still were distracted and still drawn away. How many of you have listened to the news, read the news, or had the news, sort of impaled upon you in your daily life. You might find it through your phone, if you use your phone as an internet device, or you might discover it on your computer, or you might do this other thing, Stephen's never heard of it, something called a newspaper, where you read of all the negative things that are going on in the world, how broken things are, the violence, the war, how the economy is falling apart, how everything is awful, and there's a sale at Macy's. That's how disjointed we can be. There can be so much noise filling the world around us, the music that we hear in every place, the constant visual number of ads. I think I read the other day that we're exposed to somewhere around 5,000 ads a day if you're using media on a regular basis. We're sort of imparted all of this constant flow of information, and can we listen? Can we hear? Rowan Williams, a great writer, talks about those dead fathers, and I want you to listen to this quote. It really struck me. Silence is letting what there is be what it is. In that sense, it has to do profoundly with God, the silence of simply being. We experience that at times when there is nothing we can say or do that would not intrude on the integrity and the beauty of that being. What Rowan Williams is talking about is that when we find that silence, when we find that true sense of God's presence through that silence, there's not much we can do to improve it or to take away from it. That God's beauty is right there. When you try to grow something, the soil can't be too tightly packed. When you try to grow something, it has to have room to breathe, a way to let air in and oxygen in. When you're trying to grow something, it can't be without some kind of food. It can't grow without being fed the right nutrients, the right things in the soil. When you try to grow something, you can't do it without some water and time. This metaphor that Jesus is using, it's talking about our very soul because we are so busy. Our life is so filled and compacted at times, and we're often being suffocated by the world around us. We often lack food and nourishment, or the space to even breathe. And sometimes we're so thirsty, we don't even know what it is. What Jesus is saying is, make some space. Let God feed you. Let the water fall. And even if you've not grown, even if you're filled with all the wrong things, God's not going to give up on you. There is hope. You might still bear fruit. We might, as a community, still bear fruit. Don't give up. I think that's what's lying at the heart of this gospel. So I might ask you, can you find silence? Can you listen to how God might be trying to do those things? Can you allow in the coming weeks, the week ahead, several weeks, room to let the soil be open that you can breathe? Can you let God feed you? Let the waters of baptism quench your thirst, to let God work in you that you might bear fruit. Maybe that has something to do with Lent. Maybe that has something to do with our call. But I think it starts with stillness and with quietness and with listening. And God says, I am. And you know my name. But can we hear it? Amen.